I want to have babies.
You want to have babies?
It's every man's babies. Right to have babies if he wants them.
But you can't have babies.
Don't you oppress me.
I'm not oppressing you, Stan. You haven't got a womb. Where's the fetus going to gestate? You're going to keep it in a box?
They continue to message people who they have riled up. They have enabled them to slink deeper and deeper into their delusions about the world and their place in it. And then they're told, people are coming to kill you. I don't know how that is going to do anything but create more horror.
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thanks so much for tuning in. The first clip you heard there was from the 1979 Monty Python movie Life of Brian. Can you believe it's been just 30 years? The second soundbite you heard is from my friend Frank from Quite Frankly, and he's got it right. These people have been enabled to hold psychotic beliefs. I want to quote William Bernstein from his book, The Delusions of Crowds, Why People Go Mad in Groups. Disconfirmation of deeply held beliefs causes severe psychic pain. What better way of alleviating it than in the company of newly won believers? And as you all know, friends, the trans community, well, they want those newly won believers to be your children. Thanks so much for tuning in. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Noble Gold Investments have made it their mission to stay on top of the most important economic news. Now, there were three bank runs in the last month. These are the second and third largest bank runs in U.S. history. The government is claiming to be taking steps to guarantee all deposits. But the bottom line is this, more money printing. The Fed is sitting on unrealized losses of $1.2 trillion on their $8.3 trillion bond portfolio. And it looks like the Fed may continue to raise interest rates, even if that means tanking the economy. These are frightening times. But do you know who are the ones who are not afraid? The people that have invested in gold with Noble Gold Investments. Now remember, there's always a risk of investment, and there's no guarantee of any kind. So do your own due diligence. But I myself own precious metals. Gold is the most stable asset outside of any government control. And if you like silver, that's an option too. Thousands have approached Noble Gold Investments to get their hands on gold. Hurry and go to noblegoldinvestments.com to secure your wealth now. And if you qualify, you can bag a free 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin with each gold or silver IRA. Just visit noblegoldinvestments.com. Hey friends, welcome back. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's wonderful to have you all back. Guys, it's been far too long since I've had this guest on. He's one of my favorites. He's got a real gift, let me tell you. It's Frank from the Quite Frankly Show. Here's his latest, Tennessee Trickery. Maybe we'll talk about that. And go BlackRock, get woke. Guys, the world is melting down. It's a house of mirrors, as Frank just told me before I hit record. And Frank, I like to think of you as the John Wick in that house of mirrors.
Wow. I don't even know what to say to that one, Sean. You know, what I was going to say is I can't believe that. I know that we're maybe about 2 years away, 2-3 years away, but it's going to be very soon that you and I know each other for 10 years. And that's just testament to the whole house of mirrors thing there too. And when I brought that up, it was more so about the distortion of time. Like there's a displacement. You know how they talk about alien anti-gravitic craft and technology, that the way that they're actually able to defy physics is that they displace gravity, the atmosphere around them. And I feel like there's something in that vein that we can use to describe what's going on for us as far as the passage of time goes, because it's just incredible.
It feels like the quickening, right?
I mean,
it's just time is flying so fast that finally spring is here. And I got to tell you, we had the most brutal winter in memory, honestly. Record snowfall, top 10 snowfalls of all time in my state. And it finally just warmed up 3 days ago. And I'm sitting here today with 80 degree weather, but no birds. All the birds are gone. And I have a fairly wooded backyard. I've talked about this with Dane Wickington at Geoengineering Watch. They've destroyed the environment, man. This, my backyard used to be teeming with birds. And I know it's still early here in spring, but there are no birds, no cacophony of bird sounds, no chirping. And it really is disheartening.
It is, you know, and Dane is wonderful. I had him on, I think late last year or early this one. And it's true. I think we spoke about that just a little bit, but the birds thing is that's incredible. Especially, I think it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago that I had Jim Lee on, to talk about all of the wind energy generating technology and what it is doing, not only to migratory paths of whales and dolphins, how they're being beached by the thousands all over the place, but how those vibrations, those low vibrations, actually affect human health. And we already know what green technology does to flight paths of birds, how they're fried in midair from all those solar farms all over the place, how they just creates these ridiculous concentration of heat waves that zap them out of the sky, but also the big windmills take them out too. So to think that there is something that dissuades them from being in places they used to be, that you can set your watch to it. Yeah, there's that. There's a whole lot of chaos that is seen and unseen right now.
You worry as much as I do about 5G as well. They just put up, get this, I don't know if you saw my video about it, but they just put up one of these brand new 5G towers right across from the gym where I work out, right across from my health club. And the warning sign on it, by the way, it's an AT&T 5G brand new technology tower. And the warning sign, Frank, says, this device may exceed FCC guidelines for RF radiation above this level. And that sticker is at eye level, right across from my gym.
Oh, well, they can't say they didn't tell you, right?
Right.
I think about it a lot there too. But then again, as you referenced the quickening not too long ago, there's so many things happening at once. A lot of people are a little bit more inclined to call one thing or another distractions. And I'm sure that there's a lot of distractions out there, but I think that there's just a lot happening at once. And 5G, that's one of those things where I feel like the concern and the reading into it is cyclical, because there's so many other crises that are pulling us away to one from one fire to another. And I was talking about this recently too, wondering about if there's any way to actually help safeguard a person's home. I had a friend of mine who knows talk to me about how to disable Wi-Fi at night. I said, okay, well, that'd be great. If I have a farmhouse somewhere and I have Wi-Fi wired up through the house and I want to turn it off at night so that you have about good 8 regenerative hours where you're not being bombarded by this, that's great. But what happens if you live in a suburb of New York like I do, where whenever I put on my Wi-Fi, what is it? The whole Wi-Fi connect settings on my phone, I'm picking up people's routers from, I mean, 2 blocks over.
Yeah, that's a good point. Me too. Uh-huh.
So what do you do there? You buy new curtains. I know that there's the paint that blocks all that out. Is there anything like, people wear those necklaces that supposedly fluff your aura and stuff like that? Is there anything that you can buy that disrupts this EMF bombardment in your house? I would love to know if there's anything that we can look into on that end.
Well, I should hook you up at least via email with my friend Fire Medic, Eric, a real actual fire medic who lost his job for speaking truth about all of these things that you and I speak about, because he's pretty much dedicated his life now to this, discovering where the RF is coming from and trying to, eliminate it from his home, because his children are particularly susceptible to it. They're really sensitive to it. So maybe you and he should talk. But, I was talking about this larger picture of this war against humanity with my wife, and we talk about this a lot now. And I said, it would be far easier on all of us if we had been invaded and it was a shooting war. Because then people would recognize that this is World War III. It really is happening. But because it's really happening in the invisible realm and the mainstream media is in on it and in on the cover-up, especially as it relates to the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine, and 5G, and chemtrails, geoengineering, all of this stuff, it's happened silently. It's happening. The war is happening silently, and people don't recognize it. I guess my point is that if it's as bad as I think it is, Frank, you would have already moved your family to a safer place. Me too, though. Me too. So that's the problem with this World War III. It's happening really in the invisible realm.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up, and it's so well said, because I had brought this to discussion on my show not too long ago, And I had said that I don't even know what the hell it was at the point, what was going on in the news. But it was really just the reflection on how in a conventional wartime scenario, you know what's going on. It would be so far better for us as a nation, as a country, if we had invaders at the gates that were coming in, that were wearing uniforms, that we knew what was going on. It wouldn't be an optimal situation. Many would die. But at least there would be a galvanizing sentiment inside of that kind of attack. It would be a way for people who on other occasions have the luxury of disagreeing on one thing or another to actually galvanize and come together and be able to link arms and say, all right, this is what's coming for us. And now we have a common fight. We have a common fight right now, and we have to band together. There would be something inside of that terrible wartime scenario that would actually be healing, and I think that just speaks to just how insidious this is, and how our supposed leaders are working against us, because only the way that they've gone about this, the way that they've torn us apart, and that those who are in government and the bureaucracy and the media, who have all the power in the world to pretty much neutralize our social unrest, and to be able to put positive, more communal spins on things to try to find the good in ourselves again. They have all those opportunities, and they don't take it up. Here's a great example. You remember that moment in time during the Trump administration where they went and they took third-hand information about some kind of a private meeting where Trump had supposedly referenced shithole countries and all that stuff? It's, again, another one of those anonymous sources things. The choice was made by media across the board to take, I don't know, whispered rumors from a private meeting and paraded around the world to make sure to try to insult the rest of the world using rumors that they had heard about a man that they don't like to be able to destroy his ability to conduct diplomacy. That is a conscious decision to make sure that tension is always rising. And it's a way to make sure that people never see eye to eye. So yes, it would be much better if we were actually invade some amphibious landing from a far off country that we don't know about, because obviously there's no country out there that really poses any threat, physical threat to us. So it's a terrible unseen situation, and we're going to be fighting this one for generations after you and I are gone.
And you just had a baby girl, so you've got a 1-year-old. We'll talk about what your plan is, because the forces aligned against us now are a legion of demons, really, at this point. And I want to play a clip here from Jason Whitlock on Tucker Carlson. And I watched this live, actually, but it was replayed when Maria Z was hosting InfoWars just the other day. So I want to play that clip in a second, because it feels like there's a gulf between those who care about children and our nation and the Republic and the Bible and God and Jesus and just all things that are good, versus those who are beholden to an evil that has overtaken them. And there's a gulf now that's so wide between us. And I think this has all just happened really in the last 5 years. They're turning a population against family, against decency, against schools, against children. It's a portion of the population that once said, please just give us equal rights and let us get married. And now they're saying, let us indoctrinate your kids. Let us take your kids to California against your wishes and give you sex reassignment surgery, even if you're a minor. This is complete madness, and it's got to stop. But as Jason Whitlock says in this clip, we just need to separate, because there's no way to fix this. There's no way to fix these people. What do you make of the trans insanity?
Well, people have asked what I think it is. Well, it's just what you would arrive at when you take the fetish of cross-dressing and you put state support behind it. You put the media, the education, and you put people who have been plotting again. We're talking about that unseen war. This is part of it. This is part of it. Feminism is a major part of it. The way that you go and you take a country, a nation, any kind of target population, and you set them off on a path that is only going to produce infertility, that is going to produce chosen childlessness, that is going to make people more and more concentrated on satanic. When I mean satanic, I mean humanistic practices, just really indulging in vice and pleasure and giving up the future for the now. It is so insane. It ties into environmentalism, but especially the whittling away and the give me the word, Sean, for genderless, sexless,
androgynous.
Have you ever listened or read any of Camille Paglia?
No, not too much.
There is a wonderful, she does really amazing stuff. I mean, she's a liberal, but she's more like a Green Party liberal. The Clinton type liberals hate her. A lot of feminists hate her because of stuff like this. She has done some great things, especially in talking about things like the trans insanity and how it rears its head in history just over time. I mean, right now, I think this is part of a very, very targeted psychological war operation, no doubt about it, because media is a lot more advanced than you would see in late phases in civilizations in Greece and Rome and elsewhere. But she said, and she told us, and you can find this clip on YouTube. It's really wonderful, unless it's been taken down because it's just so incendiary. How, if you study art in old classical art from older civilizations, as I said, in Hellenistic periods or Rome, you can see how the art and the expression, the self-expression of that civilization changes as it starts going into its decline. And that figures, as she said, are a lot more robust and confident in themselves, a lot more masculine and you know, forward thinking. You can see that at the height of their power and of their influence in the world. Whereas toward the end phase, where everybody is you know, resting on their laurels, the later generations that are now sopping up all of the wonderful things that prior generations had fought and won for them, they are now getting into a little bit more androgyny, as you say, a little bit more live and let live. They let go of their roots, and as she said, those robust figures of the past become a little bit more like wet noodles, and that you can see that this happens over and over again. And as far as being able to get down into the nitty-gritty of getting children, prepubescent children, to cut pieces of themselves off to get into this, you think that they would have a little bit more self-awareness, since they're always screaming about Nazis all the time and eugenics all the time. And here they are making science experiments out of children so they can virtue signal to each other. We are talking about the worst kinds of behavioral addicts. Have you ever read anybody talk about autogynephilia?
No, what's that?
I would love to read you a couple of short passages that I put on my show last night, Sean, and it's called Autogynephilia, AGP. This is a screenshot I took off of 4chan many years ago. Here's what they said. Autogynephilia functions more like an addiction than an orientation or an identity. Understanding it as an addiction also gives insight into the escalating nature of the phenomenon. Men who cross-dress start out by doing it occasionally as a masturbatory exercise. Over time, the bliss wanes and the AGP begins to chase the dragon. There are extensive psychiatric comorbidities among this population because addictions, even non-substance use ones, are regularly part of mentally ill persons' coping strategies. Disassociation is the source of the so-called high for AGP. He'd achieve that perfect bliss in embodying any role that was deeply not him. This is why sexism is an absolute prerequisite for AGP. He sees women as another species, not just people who happen to be female. He must other women in order to reach that non-self place. To access that gender euphoria, everyone they interact with has to speak and behave as though they are women. Otherwise, these men are stuck with cross-dressing at home or in kink groups or whatever. And that really limits how much they can up their dose and how often they can dose. This is because we aren't functioning as human beings living and letting live. You and I, that means we aren't functioning as human beings. We are just animated props for the role play scenario that lets these people access a specific mental state. We are set pieces and the whole world becomes their drug. And if you speak or act wrong, according to gender cultural rules, you have now become the thing standing in between an addict and their fix. You cannot satisfy an addict. It is not chemically possible. Trying to do so doesn't help them, and it isn't good for you. That's what I put on my show last night. Funny you brought it up today.
Well, it's the perfect segue to this clip here from Jason Whitlock on Tucker. But then I want to play a brief clip from Maria Z, who commented on it because what Whitlock says here really sat with her, as it sat with me. So I thought it was really interesting that she played the clip on InfoWars. Here it is.
These guys are so far removed from the truth, so far removed from any of the values that made this country great. We can't really have partnership with them. And my mindset went to secession, that we have to separate. We have to come out from among them. They're so unrighteous. They're so unclean that, you know, finding common ground is impossible with people who think men can become women, who told us, hey, look, we just want two men to be able to get married, and there's no slippery slope. And that was a lie. And we've seen the slippery slope. Now it's drag queens reading books to kids. Now it's taking kids to drag queen shows. Now it's mutilating kids and infecting them with gender dysphoria and using it as an excuse to cut off their breast or cut off their penis. You can't have peace. You can't have partnership with these people. There are so many lies stacked on top of lies from the whole Black Lives Matter, George Floyd deal, and oh, the police are just out indiscriminately killing black men and so dangerous because of the police. That's all a lie and everybody knows it. We can't find common ground with people who have no respect for the truth, no respect for justice.
Frank, We can't find common ground with people who have no respect for truth and no respect for justice. And I think he's absolutely right. I'll come back to you. Let's get your comments on this. And then I'll play Maria Z's reaction to this because it really sat and festered with her. And then she said something really profound on InfoWars about this very subject. Your thoughts.
It's the question of the time right now, because we are dealing with We're dealing with dueling realities. We have sets of people who are living in different universes, but they are occupying the same physical space, and one needs to predominate. Now the invader mindset has now taken over the bureaucracy. Long since taken over the bureaucracy is the problem. They've especially taken over the justice system, which is a major problem. Because it's one thing to talk, and you know, I think that Jason Whitlock is referring a lot to when he says secession. That's something I have been talking about for many years. People did not like it when I was talking about it 10 years ago, and I was saying things like, "Listen, we have to have a divorce now. National divorce is a Marjorie Taylor Greene thing, but it's something that is really divorce in an American sense is really an American restoration. If you understand where we came from and what we are now, you know that this is not a republic. It hasn't been a republic for a very long time. There's nothing here worthy of preserving, But to talk from Whitlock's standpoint real quick so you can get to the next clip, to talk about that secession, that being able to divest from this centralized system that has really destroyed all of our political and philosophical autonomy. It destroyed all of our social cohesion and has created this kind of warlike mindset that we have burning through us right now. That does not answer the question about how do you go and save children who are in need of saving? I mean, it's one thing to say, well, there's a lot of adults out there that make bad decisions for themselves. They're cutting things off. They're sewing things on. They're taking drugs, whatever. But they are adults, and you just got to pray for them and hopefully that there's something going on. When you have generations of children who are being abused mentally, emotionally in school, as he said, having this dysphoria imparted onto them. Then you have these pediatricians who actually think that it is a noble thing to push these irreversible surgeries onto children that are way younger than 18. And in some places they want to even cut the parents out of it. You know, that's something that secession does not fix. Obviously, wherever you are, if you secede from the rest of the union, or you at least back off and you sever your ties with the central government and you do what you can in state, then you can create all the laws you can to protect children as you like. But that does not mean that there aren't tens of thousands of kids that are being brutalized in the state, you know, a couple of miles over. That's something that is a really big moral crisis right there. What do you do? And it's really hard to contemplate that without going to dark places that can get you in trouble for even thinking out loud.
You know who Riley Gaines is, right? The Kentucky swimmer?
Yes.
She showed up at San Francisco State University by invitation to give a speech about competing against a man who, you know, swam for 3 years as a man collegiately, ranked 400th, I guess, in the nation as a college male swimmer, changed his name to Leah Thomas, identified as a woman, put on a female bathing suit, and then began to compete against these females and took first place and became national champion. And she has a real problem with that, as she should, but the mainstream media doesn't. And I guess what I'm driving at before I play this clip from Maria Z is this. Can you, because we as Christians or we as patriots, we as people who care about the Republic, we want to reason with others. We want to have discussions. We want to try to bridge that gulf. But can you do so with a demon? Can you reason with a demon, Frank?
No, I always say you cannot reason with rabies.
Okay, so let me play this clip because I think Maria Z is absolutely right. She really hits the nail on the head because I saw the same interview with Jason Whitlock on Tucker, but she took this to a place where I hadn't taken it, and I think she's entirely right.
And it's no longer left or right. It's good and evil, and that is becoming so much more apparent in society. You have something that is complete evil and something that is good and righteous and virtuous. And the evil doesn't want anything good and righteous and virtuous. It's not even about we don't want to find common ground. They don't want to find common ground with us, or they don't want to understand us. No, no, no. They want to sit in their sin and let it fester like a sore, infecting their very soul.
That's it. That was the soundbite I wanted to play for you. This is what we need to understand. Once you give yourself over to the demonic or to pure evil, which I think this is, because now they're coming after our children, they are performing sex reorientation surgeries on our children who don't know any better. And by the way, these sex reassignment surgeries, Frank, these are Frankenstein medical procedures, and I'm not saying that lightly. We'll talk more about that in a second. But these people, and I'm talking about those who are adults who are now targeting children, they want to fester in their sin and evil. So we can't bridge that gap. It's not possible.
No, I would stress, I mean, she did a very, very good job at saying all that. But I would stress to your audience, and I always stress to mine, you need to understand we live in a post-political world. It is post-politics. We are in a sectarian environment. All of those scenarios that we used to use to describe, all those examples we used to use to describe how things are against the warring tribes in the Middle East, you need to start understanding that that has been brought home. We are in a post-political world. I find it harder and harder to talk about polling, to talk about pathways to victory for Trump or for one or another. I find it harder and harder to talk about voting. It is voting does not fix this. Voting doesn't fix. I mean, look at Tennessee, where they supposedly have a Republican supermajority in their state government. Voting does not fix. Look what they have done in just 2 weeks. If you think that they're not setting up a scenario now where they have now all their media is down in Tennessee, they're showing you this stuff. It started off 2 weeks ago. It started off as children being slaughtered at a Christian school by a mentally ill transgender person. And they managed in a couple of very interesting waves of media spectacle in Tennessee to turn it into guns and then to turn it into racist removing of rabble-rouser representatives in their state house. And now, of course, the resurrection of those rabble-rousers as they are let back into. I mean, they have taken over. This is in a place that I bet you any money. I don't know how long it's going to take, but they're going to try to turn that place into the next Pennsylvania and Virginia just because they're showing you glimpses of a youth movement out there. Now, we know what the hell that is just setting up. It's all psychological, and that's what I'm saying. Voting is really just going to become so much more marginal as far as what's happening. And when people realize that, then I think we're going to at least have a better grasp on the situation. It's post-political. It is good and evil. And I don't know. It's a very tricky thing to talk about because we're talking about, you know, end game scenarios where it's all on the table there. And it's becoming less and less polite, if you know what I'm talking about. Society right now, Sean, I see most people, especially these lower level zombie like people, they drift between sleepy apathy and murderous rage. I believe that there's very little middle ground there anymore. There's just this sleepy apathy. I don't care. You see that anytime you go out of your house to go into a restaurant or a store or, you know, the Home Depot, whatever the hell it is, there's a sleepy apathy that's out there. Yep. And it's only a little bit, little nudge, and you get into murderous rage. It's just bubbling below the surface. And she's spot on, and it brings up a lot of things I think about all the time.
Hey friends, just a quick break and a word about our sponsor. I think most of you know that de-dollarization has begun, but most of your friends, neighbors, and colleagues probably don't. The dollar's dominance is fading by the day. China, Brazil, India, Japan, even France have announced they're moving away from dollars as the major trade unit. The writing's on the wall, and these are scary times. But do you know who are the ones who are not afraid? The people that have invested in gold with Noble Gold Investments. Now remember, there's always a risk of investment, and there's no guarantee of any kind. So do your own due diligence. But I myself own precious metals. Gold is the most stable asset outside of any government control. And if you like silver, that's an option too. Thousands have approached Noble Gold Investments to get their hands on gold. Hurry and go to noblegoldinvestments.com to secure your wealth now. And if you qualify, you can bag a free 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin with each gold or silver IRA. Just visit noblegoldinvestments.com. You know, it's so weird, this sleepy apathy you describe. Again, I said this to my wife. We go out a lot for dinner, and you know, we'll look around at these packed restaurants. People look to me like life is normal and there are no real problems. We're not on the brink of World War III with China over Taiwan or with Russia over Ukraine. Mm-hmm. We're not about to face hyperinflation because these nation states, the BRICS, even Japan and France are moving away from the dollar. You're right. It's like sleepy apathy, or the world is inhabited by NPCs. These are non-player characters who just go through life and never dig deeper into anything. They never dig deeper into any of these topics. You know this about me. I've said you cannot force anyone to wake up. You can only nudge them and hope they wake up on their own by doing some research. And so that's what we're up against. And one of the things you do so well on your show is you use humor and levity. And you do talk about serious subjects. But just so people understand how far we are gone, we are now not only in a decline, this is a fall of civilization, right? This is ancient Rome type stuff. Because I think we're coming full circle here about the trans insanity. You're going to appreciate this clip from Monty Python.
And it is the inalienable right of every man
or woman
to rid himself
or herself.
Agreed.
Thank you, brother.
Or sister.
Where was I?
I think you finished.
Oh, right.
Furthermore, it is the birthright of every man
or woman.
Why don't you shut up about women, Stan? You're putting us off.
Women have a perfect right to play a part in our movement, Reg.
Why are you always on about women, Stan?
I want to be one.
What?
I want to be a woman. From now on, I want you all to call me Loretta.
What?
It's my right as a man.
Well, why do you want to be Loretta, Stan?
I want to have babies.
You want to have babies?
It's every man's right to have babies if he wants them.
But you can't have babies.
Don't you oppress me.
I'm not oppressing you, Stan. You haven't got a womb. Where's the fetus going to gestate? You're going to keep it in a box?
Here, I've got an idea. Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, not having a womb, which is nobody's fault, not even the Romans, but that he can have the right to have babies.
Good idea, Judith. We shall fight the oppressors for your right to have babies, brother. Sister, sorry.
What's the point?
What's the point?
What?
What's the point of fighting for his right to have babies when he can't have babies?
It is symbolic of our struggle against oppression.
Symbolic of his struggle against reality.
Boom.
And Matt Walsh is saying the exact same thing. This is absolute trans insanity. And what was once a joke back in 1979 is now entrenched in our society and backed by rule of law. Do you see what they're doing in Canada? Mm. They just introduced legislation that if you are within 100 meters of a group of these people, you cannot express your distaste for them. You cannot even insult them, or you will face a $25,000 fine and potentially jail time. So that's the madness of a lost society right there, my friend.
Yeah. Well, what you had shown there, the reason why it was funny is because it, well, I mean, it's obvious. It's an absurd situation. But when you really look into the way that the conversation amongst all the actors there progresses, it's not a conversation at all. It's people who are stuck in the mud. And the fact that they're sitting there spinning their wheels, trying to give themselves something to do, when in fact it's just making them just spin out and burn out and lose sight of anything that could be considered a rational thought. That's really where we are right now, and you can't create that parody. That's why there is no more late night comedy talk shows. Saturday Night Live is largely irrelevant. I mean, you cannot go to a place to create parody when parody is now the reality. And outside of that, Sean, it's a question I've been asking. Now, I know that we have a lot of environmental factors here. I know that we have cradle to grave media and educational brainwashing. I know that we are a nation that is sick off and twisted off of pharmaceuticals, our addictions to food and drink, and we have all types of atmospheric toxins around us. And those of us who know, they know that they have a little bit more of a shot of neutralizing that, though it's impossible for anybody to live a totally clean life. But the understanding gives you a little bit more of a leg up. The question is, outside of all of that environmental nonsense that we're dealing with that creates people who are susceptible to these ideas and these fads and these trends, my real question is, where do we find purpose again? The people who have lost themselves in these Broadway productions, whether it be the trans, very lamentable trans trend that is going on, or what you see going down there with all these Broadway actors and actresses in places like Tennessee, it's all about people who don't have purpose. I see a lack of purpose in so many people. And they are just looking for things that are just easy enough to be able to latch on to give them something to do, just easy enough. Obviously, it's not a very hard thing to say that you believe that people can, you know, change like chameleons from day to day, however they feel. They're a man, they're a woman, there's something in between. Yes, of course, children should be able. I mean, it as absurd as it is, it's easy. It's an easy thing to give yourself as a purpose or as a cause to get to gather around. That's the real thing. We are a society that has now been bleached of so much of our purpose. And a lot of that purpose that is so naturally attainable is looking forward to the future and how you are able to pass on what you have learned to a new generation, to create a new generation, to become the elder statesman of your family, to become the bards that go and tell the stories of the people before. We have no more history. They want to take away all of our storytelling. They want to take away all of our heroes of the past, all the songs, all of our borders, all of our language. It is a purposeless people. And that's what I hope that we are able to really start picking away at, because that's far more important than seeing whether or not one person is polling higher than the other. It's not going to help us. It's not going to help us anymore. We're in a post-political society.
You know, I think you're describing empty vessels. There are lots of people now in our society that are empty vessels, and they've become empty vessels, I believe, because God has been removed from the public square, schools, etc., and they've been indoctrinated with this Rockefeller School of Learning, which is really slave training, and it's slave training devoid of a higher power. So these are rudderless people who are empty vessels, and empty vessels can easily be filled with demonic spirits, demons. And I'm not saying that hyperbolically. I think a lot of these people have been taken over. They're driven by the spirit of the Antichrist, even if they're not demonically possessed. Because what do we see time and time again, even in these LGBTQT parades and stuff, we see overt mockery of Judeo-Christian values. So I think you're describing empty vessels that are easily filled with evil. And that's what we're up against. And I wanted to ask you about these little children who are getting these sex reassignment surgeries. Many of these children at this point have parents that are taking them to get these surgeries. And in the state in which I live, the lieutenant governor, who is one of these vapid, disgusting, demon rat female creatures, she just gave a speech. And by the way, the governor signed this bill making Minnesota sort of a harbor, a safe state for these children who want to come here and get these treatments. And she just literally said, it's our job as parents to listen to our children. And when they say something, we should believe them. My question for you is this: these parents that are engaging in this and buying into this and taking their children to get their breasts cut off or to get their penises cut off and to have a canal bored into their bodies to create a fake vagina. I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. It's absolutely horrific. We're talking Mengele level crimes against children here. Somebody I just heard recently said, these parents must have Munchausen syndrome by proxy. Do you think there's anything to that? I think it's Munchausen by proxy or just demon spirits infesting these people. What do you think?
Yeah, yeah. No, this is another thing where I think that there's a lot of things that there's a couple of issues at play. Munchausen is definitely one of them. I think that that a lot of the that attention-seeking behavior, histrionic, especially the women. Got a big problem with women in this country right now, Sean. Got a big problem. But especially the women. You know, you go back a couple of years, a lot of them would get some designer teacup dog to put in their purse, and that would be it. Now they're turning their children into their designer dogs. And it's all about, again, not just, you know, listening to the kids. Well, okay, well, thank God my parents didn't listen to me when I thought I was a Ninja Turtle in 1993. I'm very happy that they didn't, because they probably would have dyed me green. And now you have these people who are not only going and making obscene decisions based on what children who exist to take up who are there to receive the guidance of a parent are now guiding the parents. But that is how the schools work. The schools are being dictated by the whims of a radical student body. And why do the adults kneel? That's the real question. I think higher up the chain, I think they love all this kind of discord. They love seeing that those who really have any kind of agency in society right now are letting hormonal children come in the way of their decision making. But it's just a lot more of this hive mind mentality of showing your fealty to the group and not wanting to be the bigot, not wanting to be lopped off. And I think that more and more so, as many, many people have, I mean, you have the Ash conformity experiments, you have the Milgram experiment, you have others that just show that, you know, maybe a third of us under intense, high stress situations will maintain our dignity and the dignity of others. But many other people would rather give themselves over to something that they know is not kosher, but will at least keep them attached to the social outlet that they feel they need to be in. And so, and it's sad, because at this point, it's not like you're sacrificing. I had said last week when we were talking about these trends here too, you know, you look back at your photos from the 1960s and the 1970s, and you might say, wow, what was I thinking about what I was wearing? Oh yeah, it was in at the time. Okay, well, that was it. You see all these hippies that left behind all of their counterculture, CIA counterculture ideas, and they cleaned up and they went to work and they became all of the drooling idiots that are still in control of our government right now. And they're struggling to hold on control because all the young elephants are trying to get into the tent. Well, it's a lot easier to take off your bell bottoms and put them away forever. It's a lot harder to try to grapple with the fact that you've cut off your penis. And the fact that they are offering up children as this fee for entry into this brave new world is unbelievable. It really is.
It is.
It's, you know,
it's like sacrificing your child to Moloch.
Yeah. Oh, wait, definitely. But like you said, Sean, there is an empty vessel phenomenon that's going on here. People are not very religious on the outside. They think that they are free of all of the burdens of being part of a religion, to be part of tradition, and to be part of anything like that. Really, what they don't know is that they have opened themselves up to become leaves blowing in the wind, and they have been raked up by people who are very religious. I mean, how many times during the peak of the Black Lives Matter insanity in 2020 did we hear Patrice Cullors say in very, very clear terms that this is a spiritual movement, that hashtags, the use of hashtags is not just about gaining any kind of momentum or visibility on the internet, that they are sigils that are powered, that they are actually involved when they are get together. And they get all these godless children together to walk in the streets and to chant the names of their dead, to chant the names of the people that they wanted to be able to bring into their little seance. They say that they are channeling spirits. Mm-hmm. Now, people who just want to be on the right side of history and have swallowed all of the godless programming, they are rife. They are ready and they are ripe for the picking for these people who know what they're doing and are imparting a religion onto people who think that they are keeping their minds free and clear of all entanglements, and they can't see it for themselves. So now we see what kind of marching orders they give next to the very large Manson family that we have growing around us.
Well, that's right. And, you know, apologies to the audience and to you, Frank, for spending so much time on this trans insanity topic. We've got about 15 minutes left here, so we'll change gears in a second. But the reason I want to talk about it is because I think an army is being raised against we the people. And it's this trans insanity army of people who are godless and rudderless. And it's an army that really is a threat, because these people, even if we had fair elections, which we don't, these people will never vote for the Bill of Rights in the Republic. They will never vote the way we might vote as Christian people or people who stand for the Republic and the Bill of Rights. These people are driven by Soros-based ideology, and it's pure evil in my view. And I don't think I'm overstating it. I want to play one more clip. And I also want to make the observation that the last several shooters, probably close to 6 or 7, maybe 8, have been these people who struggle with their sexual identity. And the media never addresses that, do they? Now, here's Andy Ngo on a horrific murder that just took place in Portland.
This horrific murder that happened on Easter Sunday in Portland, when police released a press release about it, I thought it was a little bit weird that the suspect's name wasn't released right away, because a suspect was in custody. There was delaying. And when that name came out, the police didn't use pronouns and was also very vague. And so often with many of these suspects, we can learn a lot about them from their social media. So immediately I looked up this individual and found out it is a transgender identifying person. And the murder of the taxi driver in Portland was captured in the interior vehicle camera. And I spoke to a source who saw the video. It was described to me as gruesome and horrific.
I'll pause it there. Let me tell you what happens. So this trans person gets into the back of the cab, driven by a white male. I've seen a picture of this man. He looks like he was probably in his late 40s, early 50s. It's said that he was adopted and looking forward to meeting his birth parents, who he had just met via the internet, wanted to meet them in person. And this trans person, for no reason, in the middle of the ride, plunged a knife deeply into the man's neck and butchered him alive during a taxi cab ride. So these people are so filled with anger and hate and just the inability to think straight. And I guess the spirit of the Antichrist, that I really consider them to be a threat to our families now, not just to our children and to the trans indoctrination. These people are an army that has been unleashed against we the people in this country. And, you know, I don't think I'm overstating it. We'll move on.
No, it's one of the slices of the pie. No doubt. There is this. There's this. We know all the other groups that they have created, these subcategories of demographic subcategories that they've created, and they're getting a lot more unhinged, because you're talking about dipping. What they do when they define and they promote and elevate these groups, they have to dip into their personal lives, and they have to dip into their persuasions and their proclivities and all their insecurities and anything else, and they have to turn them into points of nobility. And from there, it's as I said before, you are getting in the way of an addict and their next fix. So what happens at that point when they are told, when the messaging from the White House is constantly that there is a genocide coming against trans people or any other group, whatever the hell it is, they continue to message people who they have riled up. They have enabled them to slink deeper and deeper into their delusions about the world and their place in it. And then they're told people are coming to kill you. I don't know how that is going to do anything but create more horror. But I'll tell you one thing. I rather like staying home these days, Sean. I rather like just staying home. I work out at home. I just don't want to go anywhere anymore. I don't want to go anywhere anymore. I hate that, but it's not.
I don't blame you.
I hate it. I hate feeling that way, but I'd rather be happy and calm and peaceful. And damn.
I feel you, man. And, you know, I like to get out just to be around others. I miss going to, you know, I used to work for Target Corporation for 10 years, and I had a great group of buddies there, and we'd play poker together, and just a great group of friends. And I miss that. I miss that connectiveness. But, you know, Target Corporation has really changed and become woke too. And the majority of those friends that were there are no longer there. So Target, the whole culture has changed. So what I miss no longer actually exists. And I guess just to put an exclamation point on our conversation here, let me play this. You know, I started talking about World War III, right? If this was a kinetic war and we were being invaded, we would all be reacting far differently right now than we are, because this is a silent war. And most of our friends, neighbors, and colleagues, they don't even understand they're being attacked. Listen to this.
We are sacrificing our daughters and our sons to demons. Look at this generation. What in the world do you see? What do you see? It's demonic to its core. And we're feeding it with the broken bodies and the shed blood of our own children. God's word says he hates this. It angers him. And what does the anger of God look like in the real world? Listen, church. Those that hate you will rule over you.
And then I tweeted this. Those that hate you will rule over you. And what do we have? A puppet president. And what has he filled his administration with? These trans people now have power within a criminal administration that's out of control. And we're on the verge of World War III. And boy, you know, I said I was going to change the subject. I don't know. God's inspired me. I guess this was going to be the subject today. I didn't mean it to be the whole hour, Frank, but I want people to understand the threat is real, and speaking out against it like Matt Walsh does, that's the work of God. Matt Walsh, do you follow Matt Walsh at all? He did the documentary, What is a Woman? That
I
man
do, yeah.
has more courage right now than even, I think, James O'Keefe. He's got more courage maybe than even Andy Ngo. Matt Walsh right now is standing right in front of these people in the terror, in the violence, in the hate. He's taking all of it. And so is his family. My hat is off to Matt Walsh for being an actual courageous patriot standing against this pure evil.
I would also just like to say, Sean, that I think that there are so many more people out there. There's obviously far more. The squeaky wheel always gets the grease. And I know that they, you know, when everybody says, oh, there's a civil war coming. So, yeah, well, you have to understand what it is, though. You don't look to the 1860s. Don't think that people are going to start donning the blue and the gray again. There is no line. There is no Mason-Dixon line that separates the North from the South. You have to look to Rwanda, South Africa. It is going to be regional. It's going to be guerrilla. It's going to be weird. And what you need to do from there is to also remember that this is a very small minority of people. All right. There are plenty who are being dragged along as an enabling force that don't want to see this as bad as they probably feel in their gut that it is. They just probably hope that it doesn't touch them wherever they are. That's just really what it is. Think about the proportion. Think about the numbers. They want you to feel overwhelmed. They project that by getting people into the White House, and the White House is as big as it gets, but it's not as plentiful as it gets. Form good relationships with your neighbors. Start thinking and acting locally. Source your food locally. Do whatever you can to make your ties with your friends and your family strong again. Be happy, enjoy your life, and be very, very honest about what you're seeing. When you have an opportunity to say something in a meaningful situation or do something in a meaningful situation, take it. But you can't shoulder the weight of the world. That's another thing we can't do. Life is too short. Tweets are not going to save the world. You don't have to be on Telegram 24 hours a day to see what the next fire has broken out somewhere is all about. You have got to preserve your soul. And this stuff, just from the proliferation of the news through the media, is there to capture your soul and to take away all of your will. You have to find a way to preserve yourself and to keep yourself acting in a very independent manner, and fall in love with life, and fall in love with life over and over again. You must do it. We all must do it. It's the only way that we're going to have the strength to keep pushing through whatever last phases of this this viral burnout is going to be. And that's what I would say to leave a nice silver lining to all this, as far as what we can do in very practical ways.
One last thing here. How big is your reach now? Do you have any guess? Like, how many millions of people do you think you reach in a month?
Oh, in a month? I don't know. I don't think I'm in the millions. It's SoundCloud. And I don't know what the hell as far as my audio podcast goes, my SoundCloud tells me that I have about 250,000 plays every 7 days. That's across all episodes. But I don't know how much I believe about that. And whether it's inflated or deflated, I don't know. But I'd say that I have a good, over 100,000 people that are current with me. It's not as, growth is tough, but whenever I get introduced to new people, I usually maintain them. So that's nice. But, Sean, it's a weird world. Even those of us who are doing really great, we're all inside of echo chambers. And so it's very hard to introduce new people to the situation. So that's why it's great when people share me with their friends and their family. Just word of mouth is we're getting back to grassroots again, I guess.
Well, the reason I ask is because, I think it's incumbent on you and me and everyone listening with a platform to inform our fellow brothers and sisters here in this country about the danger, the very real danger, the end of the republic and the end of human freedom that will be a central bank digital currency. And I think you probably talk about that, but I don't listen to your show enough to know if you talk about it. But I really hope that you'll inform your audience that that is the final nail in our coffin. When the dollar starts to slide, or when there's a banking holiday, or FedNow is introduced in July, at some point they want to get us on their plantation of digital currency. And if we accept that offer and comply, that will be it. That will be the end of freedom. People like Matt Walsh are going to have a hard time speaking out because once they accept the CBDC, you'll get your money turned off if they don't like your speech. So I just want to make that point. It's incumbent on you and me and everyone listening to spread the word that central bank digital currencies, a digital currency issued by our criminal central bank, the Federal Reserve, or even the U.S. Treasury, unless this country somehow magically returns to a republic by and for the people, a central bank digital currency will be the end of freedom. And we have to sound that alarm. We cannot comply, Frank.
Absolutely. Sean, you've interviewed Catherine Russell and Fitz before.
Yeah, a few times. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember those. Those are great conversations. And I love listening to her talk about that. I had the honor of having G. Edward Griffin on the show last September. I think he's coming back later on this month. And that's, I mean, you know, anybody who started off down the road of understanding central banking and our Federal Reserve probably knows who G. Edward Griffin is. And for someone like him to have lived this long, and now see that we are knocking on the door of the true end to anything that could be considered a good currency, a liberty affirming currency, is there's so much more attached to it, as you say, than just being able to go out there and buy a Snickers bar. It's the end of everything, privacy, everything.
Yeah. I can't overstate it enough. And the head of the Bank for International Settlements, who's a big giant man named Augustine, I always forget his last name, but he says it will be total control because they want to track and trace everything. So if they don't like what you're purchasing, you're going to lose your ability to have a social credit score that allows you to get central bank digital currency. And if they don't like what you're saying, the same is true. It literally will be the end of human freedom. So we just need to sound that alarm. Frank, I really do appreciate you, man. Thanks for giving me a full hour here. How do people find your great show?
I would say quitefrankly.tv. It's the best place to go. You can find all the other places I am on the about page or the on-demand page. I'm on BitChute. I stream live on places like Rumble and Twitch and Theta and everything. I'm still on YouTube somehow, but I'm doing less and less over there in a nightly live stream sense. But that's it, quitefrankly.tv. And I'm really so happy to be on it with you again, Sean. And I can't wait to get you back on the schedule for Quite Frankly.
Well, I look forward to it, man. It's just great to reconnect. It's been far too long. So thanks for your time today. My best to you and your family and that beautiful little girl, an actual baby girl you had. And I just think it's fantastic. We live in trying times. So my hat's off to you too, man, for daring to even bring a child into the world right now, because it's total madness. But we're going to continue to fight. We're going to fight on behalf of our republic. It's a republic by and for the people. And it'll remain a republic as long as we can keep it. All right. God bless you, man.
Take care, brother.
All right. Thank you. All right, friends, thanks so much for tuning in. We really do appreciate all of you. And I'll remind you every single day for free. You can visit us directly at thephaser.com, thelibertymill.com, and the flagship site, sgtreport.com. Those are all now antidotes against corporate propaganda and all of those mockingbird, mainstream, CIA media lies. God bless you and yours, friends. Bye-bye.
And just remember, every time you've had one of these world empires in the past, from Nimrod all the way to the Roman Empire, the emperor always ended up declaring himself God. And so, in essence, this is people that want to declare themselves God and take God, who's up above, off his throne.